Hello, everyone. Welcome to the workshop. Thank you for being here. Thank you for investing in yourself. And I am going to help you move along this journey a little bit farther into igniting that divine spark within. So my name is April, and I am a professional mental health and substance abuse counselor. I am also a psychic medium, and I'm an energy healer and a spiritual teacher. So my job in this workshop is to help you learn to love yourself, learn to raise your self-esteem, to ignite that divine spark within, that divine spark that we all have. So where we're going to start with this is understanding a little bit more about self-esteem and where it comes from, how it develops, and then to move forward into healing that, to ignite that divine spark within, okay? Self-esteem is one's concept about their own self-worth. That's what self-esteem is. It is a person's idea of what their worth is to themselves, to others, and to the world that they live in. We come here into these little bodies and we are born into families that is in a certain neighborhood, that's in a certain country. And all of these elements give us messages about ourselves. They tell us who we are. They give us our identities, right? So if you are from China, it's different than being from America. If you are from South America, it is different from being from North America, right? So we get all these ideas about ourselves. We get all this information about ourselves. And it starts to say, well, it starts to tell us what we're worth. And then it goes even further, okay? So we are born into these families with these parents who have also grown up in these societies and have these ideas about, you know, how to be, how to act, how should you be around your parents? How should you be around others? How should you behave? Do you need to go to church? Do you need to go to mass? All of these ideas, all of these messages, right? So when we are little, we are born with a blank slate. I rarely have ever seen an unhappy two-year-old. Most two-year-olds are very, very happy. Most two-year-olds are in love with life. They're in love with experiencing and exploring. Everything is amazing to them. And then the messages start coming in from the people that are taking care of us or from our parents. Maybe it's our grandparents. Maybe it's our aunt. It doesn't really matter who it is. What matters is the message that they give us, okay? So I imagined the other day about two-year-olds and babies and how parents, and as they should, we are amazed at everything that the child accomplishes. Most parents are. We're excited when they learn to sit up. We're excited when they learn to crawl. We are so happy when they learn to hold their own bottle or their own cup, right? All of these types of things send a message to the child about themselves. It says, oh, look at me, I'm amazing. I'm just amazing. And then what happens usually is after the child gets a little bit older, the messages start changing. That's where it gets kind of tricky, right? For most of us, is we've kind of come out of the baby stage and, you know, we're a child, we're little, and we start getting messages about how it is to behave and what we should be saying and how we should be standing and how we should be sitting and the way we should be eating, right? And most parents are not really good at building up self-esteem. So we start to get all these messages like, don't sit like that. Don't chew like that. Don't walk like that. Don't do that. Don't do this. So then we start to think, oh, maybe I'm not so good. Maybe I'm not the best, most amazing thing on the planet. That starts to tell us messages about ourselves. And then we have situations where there is neglect or abuse, or maybe it's just some anger in the family. And that sends a message to the child also. Most children, what happens when we're little is our brain can't, we take in what's happening, but our brain can't comprehend what's happening. It can't actually process what's happening. It's not capable of saying, oh, mom's just having a bad day. That's why she just yelled at me. It takes it as personal. It takes it as I'm bad. I did something wrong. That's why mom's always yelling at me, because I'm a bad person. I can never do anything right. That is an internal message that you have sent to yourself. And over time, when we keep getting this message, because our parents, they're people, they come here, they're humans just like us, and they have their own issues. So perhaps they're not the best at raising children. So we continue to get these messages from them, and we continue to confirm for ourselves that we are not as worthy, that we're not good, that maybe we're bad, maybe we're stupid, maybe we're lazy. All these messages, we get all these messages from our caretakers. And the more we get these messages, now we start to believe them. We start to really believe that these are true, that I really am lazy. We start to believe I really am not worthy. I'm really not smart. People don't really like me. Once we create these beliefs, even at these young ages, it's amazing to me that we do this at such young ages. We do this at 2, 3, 4 years old. We create these beliefs about ourselves based off of the information that we have got from our environment. Those beliefs stay permanently in the brain. They stay permanently unless we are on the path that we all are on and you all are on of healing that. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why that was true. Why is that true? Why is it that that message at that age stays so long? Why does it have such a grip on us? And the reason is because, which I knew this all along, but it took a while for me to put it together, is the child's brain is in theta state. It's in theta state. That's programming state. We know that, right? That's hypnosis state. We know that. But that is the whole key to it, is in that state. The mind, the subconscious mind, the one that is in the back that has the program. It's the one, like with these automatic cars, it's the one driving the car. It's the one doing that. It's in the programming. It's stuck there. So consciously, you may be living your life, but subconsciously, that programming is still in there. We haven't deleted that program. And that is why I will find people, I've even found people up to 60 years old that still have that same programming. And when we go in and we talk about it, and I said, well, where did you get that programming? Where did you hear that from? How did you learn that? It will go all the way back to 2, 3 years old. It'll go all the way back to that time. It's amazing. So once you create these beliefs, once you get these messages from the people that are around you, you now have this belief, like, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, people don't like me, I'm not important, then you will go out into your world and you will start to look for confirmation of that belief. And one of the reasons I think this happens is because that initial belief doesn't feel good. It hurts. And things that hurt tend to have more power. They tend to linger longer. Why does something hurt? It hurts because it's not the truth of who you really are. Who you really are is source, is soul, is that divine spark. So any belief that is not in alignment with that is going to hurt. It's going to bother you. It's going to not feel good. And that is why the painful memories seem to have a stronger pull or stick around longer. Okay. So we go out into our world and we go to school and we have some friends, you know, but then there's a couple friends that seem to like be over there and they seem to be talking and, you know, but you're not included in that conversation. So instantly, if you've created this type of belief, the mind will say, oh, see, that's because they don't really like me. I don't really fit in. You've now just confirmed that belief to yourself. 5 years old, you've confirmed that belief. Then let's say you're in the classroom and the teacher is doing some sort of work and ask for people to raise their hand and you raise your hand, but they call on somebody else. So now you say, oh, yeah, that's because she likes that person. That person's better than me, right? That kid's better than me. So now I've confirmed this belief again. And the more I do that, the more it gets stuck, the more it gets ingrained, the more I think it is a truth. It's not a truth, but the more I think it is. And I start to live my life off that basis of not being worthy, of not being important, of being lazy, not good enough. I start to live my life off of that basis. And what I want to do with you today is I want to help you change that. So if you've experienced these things in your life, which most of us have, and you're on this journey, then these things can be changed. We can change these inner beliefs. We can raise your self-esteem. And one of the reasons we can raise it is because of the divine spark, but we're going to get there. So one of the first things to do is to realize that your parents were just people. They get this godlike persona and we kind of feel like they're godlike, right? They're bigger than us. Some of them are scary. Some of them are like super controlling and mean. We kind of feel like they're God. I mean, they did keep us alive. Some of them maybe not so well, but they did keep us alive, right? When we couldn't even lift our hand, we couldn't even sit up. So they do get this godlike persona, but it's very important to realize that your parents are people just like you. They are just people who had their own issues, who had their own traumas, who were dealing with their own emotions, just like you. Okay? I think we forget that our parents were humans. And we also forget that our parents are products of their environment, just like we are products of our environment. So we think that everything that they do must be right because that's my parent. That's my dad. That's my mom. So So we think everything that they do must be right. But we forget that they're just a human. They're a human trying to figure out life here on Earth, just like you, right? And that they have their own inner struggles. They have their own soul journey that they're supposed to figure out in this lifetime. And we also have to look at the consciousness level, not just in the parents, but in the world, the society as a whole. It's a whole lot different in that generation than where we are today. The consciousness level was not as high back when my dad, my mom, you know, was raising me as it is now. So if it is at a lower level of consciousness, it's harder to wake up. So as this, our world is changing, and as our consciousness is awakening, and it is awakening a lot right now, it is excelling right now, more people will wake up. It's easier to wake up. So it's kind of like the whole energy thing, right? Where what you think about comes back. And then also the idea that Eckhart has explained in his talks about, if you are on a bus and you get off the bus and you feel grumpy and you look back and you realize, or the example he had of the guy in the restaurant, where if you are around somebody grumpy and then all, next thing you know, you're kind of grumpy, that it's maybe not really something that has happened in your life, but you have picked up on that energy. You have picked up on that thought form. It's the same concept as that. The consciousness in the world is waking up right now. So it's going to be easier for more people to wake up. Back when your parents were raising you, the consciousness level in the planet wasn't as high. So that's another thing to consider when looking at your parents. We want to take them out of this godlike realm, and we want to understand them and have compassion for them as they are, which is a human. They're a human just like you. And they were trying to live their life and make it here on Earth just like you. So their consciousness level was lower. They came from backgrounds which were not the best backgrounds, or they were taught to be angry, or they were taught to be anxious, or they were taught to, I had one person one time I was working with that they were taught that any question that was posed to them, it required the planning of like the next like 20 steps. Like if you would say, oh, do you want to go to the beach? Their mind, they were taught that their mind needs to go, okay, well, how can I go? When can we go? What are we going in? What time are we going? How long is it going to take? How much money is it going to, like, they were taught that. Why were they taught that? Because their grandparents taught their parents that. So it's generation after generation. You have to understand that, right? The other thing that I always say is that we have to understand that the word mom and dad is just a word. We give it to these people. This is what we call these types of people who have children, but it is just a word, and it's a title that we give to people. And just because you have a title doesn't mean that you actually are good at the job, right? So there's many people that are managers, supervisors, team leaders that they're just not so good at their job. That's not like somebody else should have that job, but they have it and they have the title, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily good at it, but they get the title. Okay. So that's another thing that I always looked at in my life was, well, my parents got the title mom and dad, but they didn't actually know how to be mom and dad. They were trying, they were working on it, and this is what they had to work with at the time, but they just, you know, weren't the best at it, which I think most of our parents are. So the reason I went into that with you is because we need to stop the judgment. We need to stop judging our parents for what they did. Many, many times I've talked to many people and they have said, well, my mom should have done this or my dad should have done that. But that's a judgment. And that keeps you in that spiral of, I have been hurt, I've been abused, I've been mistreated. And that cycle doesn't allow you to heal. It doesn't allow you to move forward. And again, your parents, that's their level of consciousness. That is the level of society's consciousness. And awakening and changing and doing all of those things that you think your parents should have done were not really options to them because of where they were, because of their consciousness level, because of their healing level, because of society, because of their background. So we want to release that judgment from the parents and say, you know what? You did the best you could with what you had. The information that you had, the knowledge that you had, the emotional intelligence that you had, your ability to love, like you did the best you could do. Now for some, it's bad. It's pretty far down there, but that's still the best that that person could have done. So we want to stop judging that. We also want to stop judging ourselves because we want to realize that our parents were just people. They're just people like you and me. And they were on their own journey. Okay. So if we can understand that they don't have this godlike persona and that they're not in charge of our worth, we can stop the judgment. Stopping the judgment is really important. It's a very important step in here. We want to practice unconditional love. We want to step outside of ourselves and outside of our parents and look at them and really look at them. And if you can really look at them in a space of presence, then you can look and you can have compassion for them. And the way to do that is to say, what kind of person would I have to be in order to act like that? What would I have to feel inside in order to act like that? I would have to feel hate. I would have to feel anger. I would have to feel sadness. I would have to feel depression. And then you can understand, you can see why they would behave that way. And then you can have a compassion for them that it must be hard to be in that space. It must be hard to do that. That releasing of judgment frees you. In a sense, you could call it somewhat forgiveness, but it's more about releasing that judgment. When you release that judgment, then forgiveness can come in, but the pain leaves from you. That's what I'm after. I'm after the pain leaving you, okay? Because I can have some compassion for my mom or for my dad, because that's the space they were in. And I get that. I understand that, right? So now we're talking about the forgiving, the unconditional love. So judgment, forgiving, unconditional love, it is the same. It's linked together. Forgiving and unconditional love comes from understanding that you were brought up in an environment where you were not given the best skills. So how could you have acted differently? How could you have acted differently? How could you have responded differently? How could you have really been different? Because again, that's all you had at the time. That's it. Wayne Dyer was the one to say, you know, if I want to give you oranges, what do I have to have in order to do that? And he said, I have to have the oranges first. So you want to give somebody love, you have to have it inside. If you want to give yourself love, you have to create that love inside. And you have to understand that you were only given a certain amount of tools based off of your family, based off of your teaching, your upbringing. You were only given X amount of tools. You were not given more tools. And it's not like there was this secret pouch that you had that you could just pull out, you know, coping skills. You were only given what your parents gave you. They demonstrated how to behave in the world, and that's what you learned. Well, if their skills were not up to par, then that's all you had. You didn't know any better. So many people, I find, are either stuck in the past or they're in the future. Very rarely are they in the present moment. They're in the past thinking about all these bad things that happened, all the things they would like to change, all the things they wish that didn't happen. Or they are in the future in fear of what may happen. But we need to be right here in the present moment, right now. And right now, you have a certain skill set. Why do you have this certain skill set? Because you've been working on yourself. You've been working on yourself. That's why you have a certain, this level of consciousness. You've been working on it, but you didn't have that same level last week, last month, last year. You did not have the same knowledge. You did not have the same information that you had a year ago. You just didn't. So a lot of times we'll look at things that happened in our life and we'll say, how could I do that? How did I do that? Why did I do that? And we beat ourselves up. But the reality is, you acted that way because that's the space you were in at the moment. That's the consciousness you were at in the moment. That's the knowledge you had at the time. So how could you have made a different choice? You don't know the same things that you know now. You could not have made the same choice. Give yourself that forgiveness. Give yourself that unconditional love. Allow yourself that freedom to say, yeah, that was definitely a lesson in my life. I learned this, this, and this. Okay. So we want to practice forgiveness and unconditional love. So now what I want to do is take this a little bit further with you, and we're going to talk about your soul essence, who you are as a soul. So most of us are aware that we have a soul. I think even some people who don't believe know we have a soul. So we have, hold on, they want to reset my energy. We have Source, or God, you can call it, the One. And at some point in history, the One split, it dispersed, and it created all of these souls. It actually created spirit, and then from spirit, your soul comes into the body. But it, to just make it a little bit easier to talk about, we'll just say it created all of these souls, millions and millions and millions of souls. And each one of us is one of those souls. There is only one source. There's only one source. There's only one creator. There's not two sources. It's only one. We all come from that one. And because that one splits, so we have readjusting. So we have God, and God dispersed out. Source, creator, spirit, whatever you want to call it. It created all these souls. But in that creation of the soul, it never actually separated from us. We never actually separated from source. And then the process continued to where humans were created. But inside humans is that soul, that part of source. So I see it as this is our direct phone line to God. It's our direct connection to God. We have all have a direct connection to source. We all have a link to source. It never actually got separated. We all have a soul inside of us. Every one of us. Even animals have, but they're on a different plane. But we all have a soul inside of us, and that soul is always connected to source. It has never been separated. Our mind tells us it's separated, and we feel like we're separated, but we are not separated. We are always connected to this source. This divine energy that is in us, that is in our body, that we can all feel when we go into that present moment, that we can all feel when we see that baby smile. We can feel that when we are in love. That's that divine spark. That's that divine source. That's in there. We all have that connection. That connection never leaves us. That's who we really are. That's our true self. And the reason they say that is because this physical body is temporary. This physical body will leave, and then a new one will be born. But that soul, that energy part of us, that original part of us, can't be separated. You can't lose that connection. You do not die. And that part of you holds that space where everything is okay, where you are perfect, where all those messages get deleted, all those bad ideas about yourself, all that low self-esteem, all those beliefs, they get deleted. And if I am connected to source, if I'm truly connected to source, and we've all had those moments where we feel that inside of us, we feel source inside of us. We feel that happiness. We feel that connection. We have those moments. We all have those. In those moments that we are connected to that source, and we can sense the awe and the love and the compassion, those are the moments that tell me, okay, I am part of this. So then I am perfect. I am worthy. This that I feel that I connect with, this feels amazing. It feels awesome. It feels love. It feels connected. It feels whole. And if that's in me, and I am part of it, then I have infinite worth. I've always had infinite worth because I've always had this part of me. I've always had this part of me that was around that I could always kind of sense and feel. Right? So when you understand that you are connected to source, that you are part of source, that source is in you. It's actually in us even farther. So we've been taught for many years that source is within us. It's in our soul. It's almost, you know, kind of like seeing like a line come in, like a light come in, and it's in our soul. But actually, it's even deeper than that. It's part of your DNA. It's part of your cells. God is in every part of you. That essence, that love, that divine is in every part of you. It's in every single cell of you. So it's not just this imaginary like light that just runs right through you. It's actually in every part of your being. And it's perfect. That means that there's a part of you that's perfect, that has no flaws. And that's the part I want you to hold on to. That's the part I want you to connect with and know that it's truly, truly part of you. And when I have hard times, that's one thing that I will do. When I'm struggling or I'm having a hard time, I will remind myself, okay, I am not this body, I am soul. I am not this body, I am soul. You can say, I'm not this body, I am light, because essentially that's what everything is light energy. I'm not this body, I am light. And it is so true. It's so vitally true that when you tap in and you connect to the source, you can feel that coming in. You can feel that wholeness, that wellness. You can feel that. That beingness, that okayness, you can feel that. That's perfect. That is perfect. And that is part of you. So if that is part of me, then I have infinite worth. I have that. I always have that. I can always tap into that. Always. Okay. So what I want to do with you guys now is, take you on a little bit of a journey to help you tap into that sense, into that divine sense. But before I do that real quick, I want to also tell you that, so when you're struggling, you can remind yourself that you're not this body, your soul, that you are light. You can also remind yourself that you are not. So if it's a situation, you can say, I'm not the situation, I am love. I am not the situation, I am love. Okay, that's another thing, because what we want to do is we want to put ourselves back into center. So when we're struggling, it's because we're not centered. And again, if we are struggling, it is because whatever we are thinking or whatever we are believing is not in line with our true self. Because our true self is God. Our true self is the divine, which has infinite worth. It has infinite worth. So if you are believing something that is hurtful, or thinking about something that's hurtful, it is because it hurts, because it is not in line with your true worth. It's not in line with your true worth. It cannot be. Because if you were in a line with your true worth, then it would not hurt. And you do that in many ways. You realize, like with the parent example, I have infinite worth. I am worthy. I am a good person. Then I add in the parent thing, and I know that it's just because they were not well and they had a lower level of consciousness. That does not change my worth. Because they had a lower level of consciousness does not change my worth. I am still worthy. I still have 100% worth. They do too, actually, but I still have 100% worth. If somebody else is on a lower level consciousness and they are doing things to you, that does not lower your worth. That just shows their level of consciousness. But it doesn't affect your worth at all. So I want you to remind yourself of these things for the times that you do struggle, okay? Because we want to maintain this peace. We want to maintain this self-esteem. The other thing to do with the self-esteem is to remind yourself who you are. Who do you believe you are? Are you a good person? Are you honest? Are you kind? Are you caring? Are you dependable? Are you creative? Are you adventurous? Remind yourself who you are. And that is your divine essence. Source had me come down here this time to be creative, to be dependable, to be kind, to be caring, to be helpful. And I am doing that. That's how you remind yourself of these things. Okay. So what I want to do with you guys now, before the end of my session, is I'm going to take you through a little bit of a meditation, and we're going to light that divine spark within. Okay. So if everybody could just take a moment to reset your energy. So we're going to, for me, I'm going to yawn. So just take a breath. I'm going to recenter. Okay. We're just going to let ourselves relax. You can close your eyes if you would like. Allow yourself to relax. Let your head relax. Down through your neck. Let your face relax and your jaw. Feel your neck relax and your shoulders. Let your shoulders drop down through your arms and your hands. Feel your chest relax and your upper back. All the way through your spine, letting it release. Your stomach relax and your hips through your waist and your thighs. Feel your knees relax and your calves all the way through your ankles and your feet. Body relaxing and mind. We're going to use your imagination. We're going to go outside. We're going to imagine a park and see all the grass, the green grass and the trees. See the leaves, beautiful flowers, and butterflies. So calm, beautiful. See the blue sky and the clouds. Now notice, off to the side, there's a river. See this river running, the water flowing. We're going to walk over to this river. Seeing the water glistening in the sun and the rocks. Now I want you to notice that there's a boat. You can imagine this boat however you want. And on this boat, there is a box. Notice it has a lid, and open the box. Keep relaxing, opening the box. And in this box, I want you to pull out of you all negative beliefs. We're going to put all our negative beliefs in the box. All beliefs of not being good enough, release. Not being smart enough, release. fast enough, release all beliefs of not measuring up, all negative beliefs about you, your family, your life, your money, your work, your children, your house. Release all these negatives, see them coming off your body, leaving you and going into this box. Releasing more, all of the negative. Release all this negative. Go ahead and put the lid on the box. We're feeling much lighter. Going to breathe in, and we're going to push the boat out into the river. See the boat leaving you. See it floating down the river even farther. Notice that you're getting lighter. You're feeling better. See it continue to float to the edge of the horizon and feeling a release in your body. Feeling lighter and happier. See the boat disappear and know that the divine is going to take it and heal it and release it. Continue breathing and relaxing. We're going to go back over to the park. We're going to see a very comfortable chair. Imagine it however you would like. Large and comfy, soft. Go over to the chair and sit down. Notice when you sit down that this chair envelops you. It holds you, it cradles you. It is a healing chair. Allow it to send healing to you. Surrounding you with red. And breathe in. Breathing in red. Healing red. And release. Now allow it to surround you with orange. Bright orange. And breathe this in all the way in and release. Now turning to yellow, vibrant, bright yellow. Breathing in and release. Now turning to orange. Continue relaxing, breathing in this chair, comforting chair, breathing in green, green like the grass, breathe it in and release, moving up. Now see, surrounded by blue. Breathe this into yourselves and releasing. Now surrounded by purple, vibrant, bright purple. Breathe this in all the way in and release. Now see yourself surrounded by white, We're going to breathe this white in through our head, down through our throat, this bright, bright white light, down through our chest. Extremely bright white light. It's warm, it's healing, all the way down through your stomach, through your hips. Imagine this white light branching off and going down both legs. See it coming out through your feet, all the way down into Mother Earth, all the way down into the core. Go all the way down and connect in. And start to feel the energy from Mother Earth. Feel that energy coming back up. Feel it coming back up and in your feet. It's feeding you, it's healing you, it's talking to you, it's guiding you. Feel that white light even stronger now. Back up through your legs, through your hips, through your root chakra, your sacral chakra, through all of your stomach, all the way up into your heart. Now see it move up through your throat, the third eye, up out your crown chakra, and feel it go all the way up to source, all the way up, go even farther, go all the way up, connecting all the way to source. This bright white light is running through all of you, fully connected to Mother Earth, all the way up to source. Fully connected. This white light now is channeling love through you, channeling it all the way through you. We're going to come back down into the heart space and allow this white light to fill the heart space. This is the divine spark. This is who you truly are. Now see that white light adding in a glow of pink. Let that fill your heart space. Let it fill all the way in there. And let it expand even more. Now let it expand even more out your body. Breathing in through your heart and out with this white light expanding with hues of pink. Now we're going to add a thread of the gold divine light. See this light within your heart. Continue breathing. See this light within your heart. And let it expand even larger, covering the whole size of your heart. Now breathing in through the heart and let this light expand, covering your whole chest. Let it expand even more out past your body, growing your divine spark, breathing. Let it expand even more to fill the room you're in, all the way around you. Breathing in, expanding even more. All the way out. All the way out to the sky. Expanding all the way more. More. More expansive, all the way to source, connecting back in, fully connected in your heart, all the way to source. Breathe this love in, this compassion. Breathe it in, feeling completely whole, completely well. Divine and perfect. Breathing in divine. Breathing in, being perfectly healed, perfectly whole. Know that you are one with Source. Know that you have infinite worth. Fully healed. So we're going to take a moment, let this sink in, and then we're going to wake up. Allow yourself to come back. Bring yourself back in, back into your body. Notice your head. Feel your face and your neck. Feel your arms and your hands. Let your chest wake up, your back, your hips. Let your legs wake up, your ankles, your feet. Let your body wake up. Coming back, let your mind wake up. All right, everybody. So that is the end of my session. If you have any questions, you are always welcome to reach out to me. You can contact me through Messenger. I hope that everybody has an awesome rest of the day. And thank you so much for being here.